word says, we shall move on. Open up your Bibles to the 14th chapter of John. John 14, starting with the very first verse, and I will read down to 6. Amen. John 14 begins, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The subtitle is Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way. Now, the world says there are multiple ways. Multiple paths. There's no way in the world we could be so narrow-minded as to think that Jesus is the only way. But the word simply implies that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. How many of y'all believe that? So why you come late? Why do folks come late if they believe that statement? Because if Jesus is Lord, then whenever he calls a session, should you not be there? Or should you be stumbling in? Unprepared. Not ready. See, one of the things about coming to service on time is getting right. Getting right. Getting your spirit together, getting your soul together, your mind together, all of the mess that you that went on throughout the week. You come into the service to begin to prepare yourself. Amen? But the worship experience should start where? At home. So when you come in here, you are already heightened to hear the word. But when we come here and then we start, we're missing out on something or already in the process. So if he is the only way and you believe that, then we have to start acting like that. The world has a pluralistic view of life. In other words, there is no way in the world there is only one way. The problem is that the pluralistic view is separated because people want to think that it's only more than one way when it's convenient for them. Yes, let me read something for you. In a pluralistic world, it is always easier to think that there must be multiple ways to do everything. There are multiple ways to get to a destination. Multiple ways to build a car engine, multiple ways to get an education, and so on. But at the same time, there are many aspects of life where there is only one way for something to be done, and done right. For example, there is only one way for a human being to come into this world. There is only one ingredient to life we could not do without even for a few minutes. That's air. Even in a pluralistic world, even in religious pluralistic world, it is proper to ask whether there might be only one way for a person to be saved. Everybody wants to come up with their spin. I love Oprah, and I like to draw on Oprah, because Oprah has so many viewers. so many followers. And Oprah's new religion is the new earth. Her and Eckhart Tolle. I'm going to read some of the stuff that they believe. And this pluralistic view. And here's a quote that Oprah herself made. And I love this quote that Eckhart has. This is one of my favorite quotes in chapter one, where he says, "Man made God in his own image. The eternal, the infinite, and unnameable was reduced to a mental idol that you had to believe in and worship as my God or our God." The problem with these thinking is that these are folks who claim to be Christians. In other words, these are Christian beliefs. Folks who go to church follow Oprah. Remember The Secret? Those same things, and people who are of Christian descent, I shall say, follow after these crazy things because it makes them feel better than what they were feeling before they heard all this new stuff. See, the deal with this new age is this word that I love. It's consciousness. See, they like words like, in other words, before you know anything, you're unconscious. But when you come into consciousness, when you come into full understanding, when you come into the light, then you have arrived. Amen? So I was reading some more stuff, and one of the Christians who were against the book, they made a comment about Jesus is the only way. Then another Christian commented back, and this is what she said. "So you are not deceived. You are different, separate from all others. You are special," talking to the Christian. The one who said Jesus is the only way. "Because you live for Christ. And all the other poor deceived people on this planet all will explain themselves when they stand and face Christ. And because you are special and loving and live for Christ, he will pat you on the back and say, 'Oh, child, you have done well.' But all the other sinners on this planet of yours, they need to be punished. Man, wake up to that which you already are. Here you go. We are love. Infinite love." That was Jesus' message. Jesus was a man who attained Christ consciousness. Not that he was Christ, but he attained consciousness. And love is all inclusive, allowing, compassionate. Love is. There is no separation, no good or bad people. Love created all of us like itself. Maybe you didn't read Eckhart's book because he quotes Jesus a lot. Love and light. Of course the devil quotes the book. Every religion out there has to have a springboard, and it's the Bible. The problem is that we get into it and we twist it around to make it fit our lifestyles. Wow. See, I no doubt that Oprah, she was raised Baptist. When she was poor, should I say poor? And in need of, Christ was it. But when she became edumacated,
that's right,
and somebody who no longer needs a savior, then her philosophy has changed. She said that, "I was going good until I heard a preacher say how God was a jealous God." Now, if y'all don't believe me, y'all can go on YouTube and they'll play the video clip of her saying, I'm not out of quote. She said all of this. "But I was good until I found out that God was a jealous God. And the Bible says God's jealous. God's had no other gods before me. I am the creator. I am the one." So instead of her understanding his statement, she took it out of context and said, "Well, I don't want to serve a jealous God. I want to serve a loving God." As if to say, because he's jealous, he's not loving. And so people will get this and they will run with it. And then they'll go, aha, you know, them little aha moments. As if you just discovered something that was never discovered before. Aha. Maybe there's more to this thing. And so the world will play on that and they will play on that. And if you don't know your word, guess what? You're going to fall right into it. Remember, I said there's a lot of Christians who read these books and follow this stuff merely because they sprinkle Christ in the text.
All right.
Well, it can't be that bad for you. Okay, let's read something. One of his exercises, an awakening exercise so you can find consciousness, you know, because right now you're not there. Listen for the voice in your head. A few times a day, listen quietly for the voice in your head. The stream of continuous self-talk. Then ponder the following questions. Just be the questions. That's what they say. Just be the questions. Don't necessarily try to answer them. Number one, am I the thoughts that are going through my head? Number two, or am I the one who is aware that these thoughts are going through my head? Pay attention to the gap between your thoughts. When one thought subsides and before another arises, in this way you draw consciousness away from mind activity and create a gap of no mind in which you are highly alert and aware but not thinking. When these gaps occur, you disidentify from your mind and feel a certain stillness and peace inside you. It's called confusion. This is the essence of meditation and the single most vital step on your journey toward enlightenment. What in the heck are they talking about? And somebody's sitting there talking about, okay, let's try this. Everybody, let's try this. Let's take a thought. Lose a thought. Now, what happened between the thought that I first had and the thought I just lost? What was that? And if I can focus in on what that was, then I have achieved consciousness. This is what they believe. This is how they identify and draw themselves away from Christ. You wonder why this world is so crazy and so upset. It's because Satan knows what he's doing. He's not out here just freelancing. He knows what targets to hit. He knows where to go. Now, what I provided you with is a chart to show different religious views. So if you turn to that, pull up your chart, where it says Appendix B. Everybody with me? Christian theism, that's us. We believe in God. All right? As relationship to God, they believe he's a personal God. That's us. We believe in a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. Their view of God, a new earth, Oprah's religion, is universal life force. Naturalism is non-existent, and pantheism is impersonal. Amen? So as long as you understand that, then you don't have a problem. Is that right? The world, creation, new earth is spiritual. Naturalism, physical. Pantheism, spiritual. And pantheism, everything is God, and God is everything. That's what they believe. Everything is God, and God is everything. And naturalism is nothing more than atheist. It's materialistic. So go through these and just look at some of those things, and you can identify when a folk says they New Age and something like that, you understand what they believe. You know what they believe. So I'm giving you information to not just go home and put some chicken grease on it. Take a look at it. As you see, we'll go into the many paths to God, the logical problem, the existential problem. Then the last clip is the connecting with the divine, as we deal with Hinduism, New Age, Buddhism, Islam, and Christianity and faith. In other words, you got to begin to read to understand who it is that you follow. Amen? So it's not a point of me going deeper and really diving a whole lot of places, and you say, well, Rev, I don't really understand it. Take your time and look over this, because this is what we face. This is the war that we battle against when folks say there are more than one way. If you go down a one-way street and you go the wrong way, what's going to happen? You ain't going to make it, because it ain't but one way. Now, God says that Jesus Christ is the only way. Is that not right? Look at Acts 4:10. Acts 4:10. Oh, you got people, just write it down. It says, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only way. I don't care how you look at it, how you try to mix it up, what you try to stir up together. The fact of the matter is, if you live in foul, Christ will call it out.
Yes, sir.
If you'd like to live in your mess, then you need to go to a new world view. Because ultimately, you become your own God unto yourself. And if I'm my own God, then therefore there is no right or wrong, because I have reached what? Consciousness. I am now alive. Other than that, I'm dead, and I do not know anything that's going on in my life. Therefore, you must understand that Jesus is the only way. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. In other words, you cannot get away from the fact that the word of God says that there is but one way to the kingdom.
Yes, sir.
What the world says and what the word says, where do you stand? What do you stand on? What's your saving grace? What's your saving faith? What is it about what you do that identifies with who you serve?
Wow.
Or do you serve Jesus part time?
Uh-oh.
Oh, it's hot, that's all. Do you serve him part time? When you leave here this morning, right, or this afternoon, what's on your agenda? What's next, Christian? Is there a drink waiting on you? Is there a buffet with your name on it? Is there some things that will compromise who you are in Christ waiting for you? Because if you ever, or if we ever want to be blessed by God, we got to follow his path.
All right.
His way. You can get caught up in all these other world religions and say that, yeah, they're right. We must be too close-minded to believe that there's only one way to get to God. But when you stand before a holy God, what are you going to say when you get there and say, Lord, I thought there were multiple ways. I didn't think you was that closed-minded. Because that's what, in essence, that's what they're saying. They're saying, God, there's no way in the world you would be like that. They ain't read the word of God. If God is saying that, look, have no other gods before me. I am a jealous God. Because all the praise, everything that you give is due to me because of everything I've done for you. The reason why Israelites go through so much is to teach us. He said, y'all worshiping golden calves and images, and everything that you worshiping is the stuff that I gave, but you worship the inanimate object and are not holding on to the fact that I'm the one who gave it to you. You turn me and reduce me into idols, and these idols can't do a thing for you. You have made idols out of your family, out of your life, out of the things you do. You put things before God. And then as an afterthought, here comes God. But as Christian, shouldn't he be first and foremost? If he's the only way? If he is the Son of God? If he died for you, who else going to die for you? And take the kind of death. I mean, if I'm going to die for you, let it be quick. You understand? Let it be quick so I ain't got to feel all the pain. Jesus had a slow death. In other words, if you look at the picture of the cross, Jesus had time to say, oh, this is too much for me.
Yes, sir.
You know when they take a prisoner of war in the captivity and they're trying to break him? No. They don't kill him quick. They make him pay. They make him suffer until he breaks. So the world is trying to break us into saying that, you know what, maybe we are wrong. Maybe there are multiple paths to God. Maybe there is more than one way. I mean, there's Buddha, there's the Hindus, there's Islam, there's so many different ways they all talk about God. So maybe it's okay that everybody takes a different route, but the Bible says that there's not but one name.
Yes, sir.
Under heaven whereby men and women must be saved. In other words, only one could have paid the price for all the mess that we create. We not no gods. We are the image of God. But he made us in his image. We didn't make him in our image. We wasn't beside him when he said, let us. And so when you stop trying to think like you are God and understand who you are, that you are the clay and not the potter, do you realize how much God has in store for you when you come into true consciousness? And that consciousness is Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because without him, you have no thought process. Before you meet him, you are dead. My father would say you are D-O-A, dead on arrival. By the time you leave, you should be alive on departure, A-O-D, because you met the man. But until you meet him, you are still walking dead. You say, but I'm breathing, I'm living. Are you? Is that reality? Or maybe I should use one of these new age thought processes. Wait a minute. Am I reality? Let me see. If I take my last thought and put it before my first thought, find the middle of the thought, and then contemplate on that thought which I just left, then maybe I might be somebody. That ain't nothing but a Dr. Seuss riddle. If you believe in all that kind of stuff, I tell you what, I got a monkey and a banana for you and your God. He didn't call for us to be weak. He called for us to be soldiers. In other words, he realized there's a battlefront that we got to fight on. And the reason why we keep failing is we don't know how to fight. He tell you to pick up the sword and you keep picking up a butter knife.
Come on, Reverend.
The Bible says, put on your whole armor. In other words, protect yourself. Because the enemy is coming. When you wake up in the morning and you got a mindset for God, nobody's going to move you. Nobody can keep you from those doors before the doors open. Nobody can push you out the doors before it's time to leave and fellowship one with another. Nobody's going to stop you from picking up the phone and say, look, brother, I just want to talk to you for a minute. Look, sister, I just want to let you know that I'm here for you for a minute. See, Christians are a family who come together through the good and the bad. And so if we close-minded, then guess what? I'm happy to be close-minded because I follow a God who controls the minds. In other words, I'd rather be wrong than right. You say, wait a minute, Ray, what do you mean wrong? Because the world says we're wrong. And they believe they're right. And that there are multiple ways and multiple paths. Well, I don't want to hang out with the world. So in that case, I'd rather be wrong than right. And when we meet God, we're going to find out how he turns wrongs into rights. Don't always pay to be right, do it. And then definitely don't argue a point that you have no idea how to argue. In other words, if you're not prepared, keep your mouth shut. Then go home and get your butt prepared for the next battle. That's all God wants. He wants us to stand up on his behalf like he stood up for us. Now, I was late, but just imagine if God showed up late.
Come on now.
Right now.
Come on
now. When you're on that delivery room table and God decides not to show up. When you're on the I-83 corridor and there's a 7-car pileup and God decides not to show up when you hit that particular moment. Or you just walk through a convenience store. And there's a robbery that just took place. But God decided not to show up. And you found yourself in the middle of the robbery. Look at your lives and where you are and just ask yourself, what if God said, I'm not showing up? I'm going to do them like they do me. See, when you wake up, it's an urgency to God. And the greatest thing about God is he can hit breath at everybody at the same time. He can go, everybody wake up. He ain't got to go. Can I get some help here? He just go. And if he does that much for us, don't we owe him? Don't we owe him our time, our efforts, everything we have? Because if you believe that he is the only way, the Bible says that he's coming back. He's coming back. Didn't he say that? He's coming back to get us. Because it says that where I am, ye may be. So he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the lake, good Lord have mercy. I will fear no evil for thou art
with me.
So there's nothing that can separate us from
love God.
Believe that. Understand that. And know it. Because God is all that we have. And he tells you that by saying, I am that I am. The world says there's more than one way to God. The word says there ain't but one way And his name is Jesus. And if you don't connect to that one way, I'm here to tell you, you, Oprah, Eckhart Tolle, and the rest of these thought people and New Age and Buddhas and everybody else will bust hell wide open. And you say, well, Rev, you can't say that. Sure, I can say that. You know why? Because the Word of God says it. And that's what I stand on, the infallible Word of God. If you think I'm wrong, you don't know Christ. But if you understand, then you can stand on the side of wrong just to be right in the end. And my conclusion of the matter, there is only one way and one path to God. His name is Jesus. The doors of the church are open this morning. Amen.